translation says poor in spirit, but basically God blesses those who realize that they're spiritually bankrupt. And when you realize you're spiritually bankrupt, then God's able to bless you, because He can't bless you when you're in control of things and when you're in bigger than life. The second week we talk about God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And one of the things we talked about is to be blessed in life, you have to mourn your losses. You know, it's part of, I think, healing for the soul when you're able to mourn your losses, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's the loss of your plans, your ideas. When you're able to mourn those, God's able to comfort you. And then last week we talked about how God blesses the gentle. And it's not a word that we like to use, but God does not bless those who are all powerful and throw their weight around. God actually chooses to bless those who are humble and gentle. They're the kind of people that have their power under control. And God blesses those. Tonight we're going to talk about Matthew 5:7. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, I really believe that one of the most important blessings you can get in life is from giving people mercy, being a mercy giver, not someone who is always taking. And, you know, you just don't really realize how important mercy is till you get a speeding ticket. Back in the fall, I was driving back one night, and I was trying to get back to watch the Baylor-Oklahoma football game. It was on TV, and I don't like Oklahoma, and Baylor was playing. And let's just say somewhere between Joplin and Mount Ida, I was going a few miles above the speed limit in that area where they drop it down to 45. You know what I'm talking about? You go through Joplin, and there's another little area, and all of a sudden the speed limit goes down to 45. Well, let's just say I was not going 45. And I can remember thinking when I saw the lights go on, oh no, I'm guilty. I don't need a ticket. I know insurance carrier likes it when you get a ticket, but I can remember sitting in my car going, I'm in trouble. And of course, my wife is there, which makes it just very difficult to get a ticket with your wife there. And so the highway patrolman came up to me, and I'd always heard if it's a highway patrolman, you might as well go ahead and take the ticket, because that's what they do. But he walked around, and I, you know, didn't pull my preacher card. I pulled a poor sinner card. He said, sir, do you know you're speeding? And I said, well, yes, sir, I kind of do. And he goes, well, why? And I said, well, I'm trying to get home. Now, this is a terrible reason. I'm trying to get home to watch the Baylor OU football game. And it was on the radio. It was going on. I said, and I just got carried away. And I really don't have a good excuse. And to my shock, he could have given me the law. He could have given me a ticket. He gave me mercy. He says, well, I'm going to give you a warning ticket. Now listen, my appreciation for that officer just went through the roof. I don't remember his name, but here's what I do know. I remembered mercy. You remember when you get mercy. You know, let's look at it this way. How important is mercy to you? Well, if you got caught cheating in a math class, you would want your math teacher to have what? Mercy. You don't want the law. You don't want justice. You don't want fairness. You want mercy. And so when we talk about this aspect of mercy and how when we give mercy and when we receive mercy, we're blessed. Now, you know, this word blessed gets used a lot, and I think we don't realize how good of a word it is. And you know, a lot of times you'll go up to someone and they're standing there and you'll say, well, hey, John, how are you doing? And they'll go, I'm blessed. Now, doesn't mean they got a raise. It doesn't mean that anything spectacular happened, but when you meet a person who feels blessed for no reason, You understand a person who understands God's blessing because it is an awesome thing. So tonight we're looking at God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, why be merciful to other people? That might be a good place to begin. Well, the reason we're merciful to other people, and this is the number one reason, and if you can't be merciful, you got a problem with a tough scripture, is because God has shown me mercy. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But God is so rich in His mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins," we're guilty, we're dead, it goes on to say, "He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." In other words, I am able to give mercy because I understand that God gave me mercy. And the word mercy means the ability to give forgiveness or compassion to someone when you have it in your power to punish them or to harm them. And you see, God looked at Bill Ashburn and He looked at a guy that deserved eternal death. "I am a sinner. And yet because of Jesus Christ and because I placed my faith in Him, He gave me what? Mercy." I get so irritated with spiritual people that think they did God a favor by becoming a Christian. That is just wrong. That is just wrong. Mercy means you understand that you're not good enough. Mercy means that you understand that you really deserve punishment, or you deserve to not be forgiven or to be harmed. But as believers in Jesus Christ, man, our whole faith bases on mercy. And so because God is mercy, and because I have received His mercy, and because I appreciate His mercy, I need to be merciful. I need to be merciful to the people in the community of Mount Ida who are not Christians. I need to be merciful to the ones that are Christians but do stupid stuff. I need to have mercy primarily because He has mercy on me. Now, a second reason is because God commands me to be merciful. In Micah 6:8, it says this, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what He requires." Okay, what does God require? And I love this. Number one, to do what is right. God requires for us to do what is right. But look at the second thing. He requires us to love mercy. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes looking at the church, you don't think they love mercy. You think they love law. You're a bad person. You're this and that. No, He says to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That is what God commands us to do, is to be merciful. And another reason I need to be merciful, it's because I'm going to need more mercy in the future. You know, I got saved because I needed mercy. God saw my condition, but guess what? I still need mercy. As hard as I try, I still fall short. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, "There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you." There is just so many scriptures that talk about we have a responsibility to show mercy. But here's the last one. It's easy to miss this. Showing mercy brings or causes happiness. Listen, when you give someone mercy, it brings you joy. In other words, you don't have to punish them, and you don't have to. Now, I understand you got to have consequences as a parent. You can't always give mercy. As a teacher, you can't always give mercy. But here's what I do know: when you show someone mercy, and they don't deserve it, you don't even maybe know them, there's a joy. In Proverbs 14:21b, it says, "Blessed are those who help the poor." There is blessing in helping poor people, not because they deserve it, but because you can. There is joy or happiness from helping those people that you can help that maybe deserve it, maybe don't deserve it. Proverbs 11:17 says this, "Your kindness will reward you." The New American Standard says, "The merciful man does himself good." Let me tell you what. You need to be a person who gives mercy. You know, it was kind of frustrating. My oldest son and my grandson and my daughter-in-law are visiting right now. And I said, "Quint, can you remember a time I ever showed you mercy?" And he said, "Oh, Dad, I'm sure there are plenty of times." And then he starts reminding me of a time I didn't show him mercy. Well, you know, it just upset me, you know? He said, "Oh, Dad, yeah, you gave me lots of mercy. But do you remember that time?" And it just ruined the whole thing. Because there's no blessing in being the judge. There's no blessing in giving someone what they deserve. There is a blessing in, "Oh, yeah, Dad, you let me off the hook." Just like that highway patrolman let me off the hook. Hopefully he was blessed by that, and maybe you'll get more blessing. So those are the reasons, the four reasons. But how do I be merciful? Because I am a Christian, and if I'm going to be blessed, I've got to practice mercy. We as the church, the body of Christ that leaves this place, we need to be known as people of mercy and a church that offers mercy. Well, here's six suggestions. Number one, and I love this first one, be patient with people quirks. Be patient with people's quirks. People, if you haven't noticed, are quirky. You know, I thought when I went into the ministry, everybody was just going to love Jesus and be normal. Wrong. There are a lot of weird people in the church. I've been doing this a long time. A lot of quirky people in the church. And, you know, one of the things that we want to do is just get rid of the quirky people. But that's wrong. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Be patient with each other," and I like this, "making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." You see, one of the ways you can show mercy is that person who's quirky, that person who gets on your nerves, that person who always does those things that drive you crazy. You know, someone's coming to your mind right now. Instead of just cutting them off, giving them the what for, understand you need to be patient with them. And I like it, making allowance for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love. You see, the love of Christ causes me to extend mercy to people who I don't really want to, who are quirky. And that's just biblical, because you see, the wisdom from above is a wisdom that is peace-loving, but it's full of mercy. Listen to what it says in James 3:17. "But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds." Listen, does your family know you as a person who is full of mercy? Do your kids know you as just the executioner, the judge, or do they see mercy in you? Now, I know you got to have consequences. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are times when we give mercy for no other reason than because it's a good thing to do. And so that person that comes to your mind who's driving you crazy, just determine you're gonna make allowance for them. Just understand some people are going to always be quirky and be okay with that. So you can be merciful by being patient with quirky people. Second thing, if you want to show mercy, And if you want to show mercy and if you want to really experience the blessing, help anyone hurting around you. You see, mercy looks out and has compassion on the needs of other people, and then they seek to do something to help them. We need to understand that one of the ways we can be merciful is by helping hurting people. Do you know anybody that's hurting? They may be hurting financially, they may be hurting emotionally, they might be hurting, you name it. And merciful people will help people who are hurting. Proverbs 3:27 says this, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them." In other words, if you see someone who is hurting and you have the ability to help them, one of the ways you can show mercy is to help them. Don't wait for them to ask. Just show them mercy. Romans 12:8b says, "The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." It says in the Message paraphrase that same verse, "If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face." One of the ways you can be seen as merciful is by helping those people who are hurting. Who do you know that is hurting? And then, what can you do to help? Now, it doesn't always have to include money. It can be encouragement. It can be helping out with the kids. How can you show help? You know, as the church, I've heard complaints for years about the church. Well, the church doesn't care about the community. And you know, the truth is, a lot of times the church didn't care about the community. Let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. We didn't want them coming in and messing up our perfect world. Because you see, people are messy, and when you deal with people, it's messy business. And yet, the Scripture teaches we are to be merciful, and we are to reach out and show mercy to those who are around us. Third thing, this one's a hard one. Give people a second chance. Give people a second chance. Are you one of those people that when someone crosses you, you mark them off? Been there, done that? You know, one of the hard things that I had to learn about the Christian life is that people sometimes deserve a second chance, just like I deserve a second chance. And one of the ways I can show mercy is to give them a second chance. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." And then it says this, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Who do you know that needs a second chance? I'll never forget, it was my first church. Julie and I had just gotten married. And there was a guy on staff that we just rubbed each other the wrong way. And so, true to my fashion, I just marked him off the list. we'd go to church together, we were around each other, but you know, I just didn't care for him, and he irritated. I don't even know if he did anything. He just drove me nuts. Maybe he was quirky, but we finally had some words, I remember one day I came home from church, and my wife says, "Mark's coming over for dinner tonight." "Mark? Why in the world did you invite him over?" She goes, "Well, he's coming over for dinner." Well, Mark came over that night to dinner, and you know, it's amazing, if you're a Christian and the other person's a Christian, and you sit down and you share a meal together, you either have to get right with God or right with God and right with each other, or wrong with God and leave angry. And so, Mark and I became good friends. Now, we are opposites. We vote differently. We think differently. But here's what I know about Mark. Mark is a good friend. When I came to Mount Ida, he was one of the first people to call me on my first Sunday morning to pray with me. Now, we don't vote alike. We don't think alike. I'd written him off at one time, and I'm sure he had written me off at one time. But guess what? I gave him a second chance, and our relationship has been good. You see, mercy doesn't say the other person has to agree with you. Mercy says, I love you in spite of you, and I'm going to show you grace. And you know, give someone a second chance. Don't write people off. Number four. This one's, none of you are going to want to do this. Just, you know, go find a church where you can do what you want. Because this one is, do good to those who hurt you. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36 in the English Standard Version says, but love your enemies. Who wants to do that? Love your enemies. And then it says, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And then he says this, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Wow. Now, it might be easy to give someone a second chance, but someone who's hurt you, no. And yet, Scripture seems to indicate if we're going to reflect God, we're going to have to be merciful. That doesn't make sense. And of course, what I've discovered is when we live for Christ, most of that doesn't make sense either to the world. Do good to those who've hurt you. Don't expect anything back from them. Just do the right thing. It doesn't matter how bad they hurt you. Just be sure that you respond properly. I was telling one of my sons that the other day. I said, son, the main thing that really matters in this relationship is you do the right thing. It really doesn't matter what you feel, whatever, do the right thing. Fifth thing, we're almost done. Build bridges of love to the unpopular. Listen, as the church, we were sent to reach the unpopular. We were sent to reach the bad people. Now, I know that goes against what we think of when we think of church. We think of the good people. And yes, the gospel takes bad people and makes them good people. But the way the gospel does that is it offers mercy to those who are not good. Now, listen to this story in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. This has such implications for us as the church in Mount Ida. In verse 10, in chapter 9, it says, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciple. Well, let me back up. Go to the verse before that. Go to verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple. Jesus said to him, Matthew got up and followed him. So, see, Matthew is... He was one of those unpopular people. The Jews absolutely hated tax collectors. There's no way to get around it. They didn't like them. They considered them to be the worst of the worst. And so, this is just kind of interesting to me. Who does Jesus call to be a disciple? A tax collector. Not a rabbi. He called a tax collector. And then look at verse 10. Later, Matthew invited Jesus, and I love this, he invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. So Matthew says, hey, I'm going to have a dinner. I'm going to be a disciple, and I'm going to invite all my unworthy friends. And then look at verse 11, the religious people, the ones who did not show mercy. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, and I love the New Living Translation, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Ooh. You see, the religious people had unpopular, untouchable people that they did not want to reach. And tax collectors were considered to be a part of that. And who did Jesus... You know, here's the interesting thing. Jesus seemed to draw lost people to him. Bad people. They were drawn to him. They felt safer around him. And then look what Jesus said in verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard this, that he was eating with scum. I love this. Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but for those who know they are sinners. Wow. You see, the challenge for the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about me and you, is building bridges to people like Matthew. People in the area of Mount Ida, they don't go to church, they don't care about it. Do you realize we're hospitals for those kind of people? We are to show mercy, not just offer sacrifices. Because a lot of churches think as long as they're offering up their sacrifice of praise and giving their offering, they're doing what is required of them. But showing mercy is one of the ways we show we're followers of Christ. Now that's a challenge to the church. Because we've got to reach those people. That means people with addictions, people who are involved in all kinds of immorality. We have to reach them with the gospel because only can the gospel change a person in that situation. Too often we focus on getting the healthy people. We want the people who tithe. We want people to read their Bibles. But the truth is God wants us to reach the lost. He wants us to build bridges of love to the people who are maybe not so popular. You know, as I think about our church, I think about what we tried to do on Wednesday night before the virus. You know, we meet on Wednesday night. We spend lots of money on food for kids who maybe don't have the money to pay for it. We have activities. We spend lots of money. And we do that not because they're the most spiritual people in Mount Ida. There's one reason we do that. We have hope for them. And, you know, I remember going to a church one time. It was in St. Louis. I was there. And we had just had the money to redo our fellowship hall. And I'm sitting there in a meeting, which sometimes meetings make me go crazy. And they start making up rules of what we can't do with this fellowship hall that would be wonderful to reach children. Can't have Kool-Aid, can't have food, can't have... Before long, there was nothing to do down there. And I said, wait a minute. We need to use this room for reaching kids because that church had just about died not reaching kids. And they were so concerned about the carpet and the look of that room that they didn't realize the purpose of that room was to fill it with kids who needed to hear the gospel. Anytime you get so caught up on the beauty of your building rather than the need of your people and your children, you miss it. So our goal is to reach sick people. Who were the sick people in Mount Ida? I'm not talking about physically sick, but spirit. We need to reach them. We need to build bridges. So be merciful and build bridges. Help us build as we start to gather. And hopefully in the next couple weeks, we're going to start getting information and we're going to start meeting. I hope we will try to reach those people who maybe aren't church-going people. That's our goal. And then finally, the sixth thing, when we show mercy, it means we value relationship over rules. Did you know relationships are more important than rules? If you've got rules and you ruin relationships, you're doing it wrong. Now, I know you've got to have rules, but people are more important than rules. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and this is the last story, it's the story about Jesus and his disciples, and they started eating and broke a rule. Listen to it. At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. They were hungry. There was grain. They started eating them. But look at verse 2. But some Pharisees, now the Pharisees, not merciful. They were definitely into rules. But some Pharisees saw them do it and protested, "Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath." Now, you talk about stupid. They're starving to death, and they're just doing it in their hands to eat it. But according to the law, the rule, they were working on the Sabbath. They were trying to get lunch. They didn't have McDonald's. They were hungry, so they started to break the grain and eat it. But the problem was, it was on the Sabbath. They were breaking a rule. And then Jesus said this, "Haven't you read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priest on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of the Scripture." Here's the Scripture. "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." Listen, God wants us to show mercy. And sometimes helping people, we have to show mercy, and sometimes the rules get broken. And in this case, Jesus was trying to feed his disciples who were hungry. And yet, those religious people, all they could think about were the rules. Here's the thing, when your rules become more important than people, you've lost the point. You know, we have rules, we have to have rules, but let me tell you what. In my book, people trump rules. I mean, there's just some times where you have to do what you have to do to help people. You know, for example, you might be coming to church on a Sunday morning and you see a lady on the side of the road with a flat tire. And it's raining and it's bad. You could tell she needs help. You have a choice. Is it right for you to go to church or to help the lady? Well, the rule of relationship would say the lady would trump being on time to Sunday school. Because people are more important than rules. And when the church starts to show mercy to a world that so desperately needs it, you might say, "Well, the world's not very merciful to me." Doesn't matter what the world does. We just have our responsibility. And it says in the Scripture, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." You want to be blessed? Be merciful. You don't want to be blessed? Just give people what they deserve. My hope, my prayer, is that you will be a blessing to someone this week. Just unexpectedly bless someone and give them something they don't deserve. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love. Help us to be merciful. Help us to see people who have needs. Instead of getting mad at who they are and what they've done wrong, help us to see them as people who need Jesus Christ to heal them. Help us as a church to build bridges to those who are not in the church and to share with them the gospel that can change their lives. And Father, help us to always remember people have more important rules. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have